Okay, so today's daf is daf Yud Aleph, and we will start at the bottom of Yud Aleph base at the two dots. The next thing that we got to in the Mishnah is in Yesh Otzrat HaPetach, Afo Pishul Achav Bi'eser Eino Tzorich Lema'it. So as long as there's a Otzrat HaPetach, it doesn't matter if the width of the Mavui is wider than 10 Amot. Ashkechan Otzrat HaPetach Lahani Baruch Bo. So we've established until this point that a Otzrat HaPetach helps if the doorway is wider than 10. And we also established earlier in the Masechet that an Amaltera Mahanya Begovho, that if you have a design up on top that attracts attention, so then you could have a Mavui that was actually higher. Your Korah could be higher than the maximum of 20. But we didn't talk about the opposite case. Ikhamai, could you use a Otzrat HaPetach that would be higher than maximum height, not only that would help us in the width, and could you use an amaltera if the amaltera draws attention to the fact that this is a petach, despite the fact that it's wider? You talk about those cases. My. So what would be the din in that case? Tashmaya detanya mavushu gavoa me'esrima mayimait ve'im yeshu tzurat ha-petach eno tzurich lema'it. There's your answer. We have a bright that says beferush that a tzurat ha-petach is not limited in height the way just a plain opening is. An opening, indeed, is a problem. But a true petach that is sealed, because you have the virtual seal of the tzurat ha-petach, could be even higher. As far as amalta baruch bomai, we haven't addressed that. How about attracting attention with a design to indicate that this is an opening, despite the fact that it's wider? What would be the thing there? Tashma, detanya mavui shehu gavoa mi'esrim amayim ha'eith. Let's take a look again here at the language in this right. Mavui, which is higher than 20 amot, requires you to lower that Korah. V'harachav mi'eser yema'it, or if it's wider, it has to be also moved in. V'im yeshu tzorat ha-petach eino tzorich lema'it. V'im yeshu amaltera eino tzorich lema'it. This last piece about an amaltera seems to be referring to the last thing that we said. So in other words, my lav, that we'd be referring back, we'd be referring over here, to the Seifa, and we would say that Amaltera helps even on the last thing, namely, quote, V'harachav Mi'eser. So if it's wider than 10, then it's... it keeps him up. If it's wider than 10, it says it's okay if you put in Amaltera. So Lechora, we don't have a problem. So we've proven that an Amaltera helps for width, and then a Tzurat HaPetach helps for height, and of course, we knew the opposite when we started. Says the Gemara, well, no, not necessarily. I mean, because of the fact that we repeat the im yeshlo, that puts the amaltera into a separate section. It could well be referring to the ratio, which is referring to height. Now, we know an amaltera helps with height, but this doesn't necessarily add anything. As a matter of fact, it's disturbing. It could have just said, im yeshlo tzurat ha-petach amaltera. If it says it this way, im yeshlo tzurat ha-petach enot, im yeshlo amaltera enot. The mashmaut is that the im yeshlo amaltera isn't referring back to the immediate end. Rather, was going back. And as we had earlier, when Rav Yehuda did the very dangerous thing of teaching Chia with Rav's son in front of Rav, the Mishnah would never do that, but he was teaching him in front of Rav, and he read the Mishnah as we have it, which says that im yeshlo tzurat ha-petach eino tzorich lema'eid, and then Rav shouted to him, Ormalei atanaya tzorich lema'eid. That's wrong, dear son. Teach him that you do have to be lema'eid, even with the tzurat ha-petach. Omer Rav Yosef, midivrei Rabbeinu nilmad, from the way Rav insists that the tzurat ha-petach will not help you if you have a petach that is wider than 10 amot. If that would be the case, then we would have to conclude that a chatzer, shelubab tachim v'chalonot, enan niter tzurat ha-petach. That if you've got a chatzer, which is mostly open space around it, a tzurat ha-petach is not going to help you. My time. Look, analyze the similarity of certain cases. More than 10 amot, according to Rav, will aser mavui even with a tzurat ha-petach. We have a similar case in a chatzer, which is parutz meruba ala omid. So if you've got mostly open space, that asers in a chatzer. Okay, so now we can make a hashra'ah. In the same way that yoter mi'eser, which is oser is the mavui, eno nitar b'tzurat ha-petach, it makes sense to say that Rav would have said the same thing about parutz meruba ala omid. So av parutz meruba ala omid, oser b'chatzer, eno nitar b'tzurat ha-petach. Because if what Rav is saying is that Tzurata Petach is not going to save your skin when you have something that is be'etzem, anti-machitza, it's definitely not a petach because it's more than eser. So you can't close it off by a virtual petach that we call it Tzurata Petach. Then the same thing is true about the problem in the chotzer where amongst all of the arba machitzot, you have porus, meruba la'omeg, you don't have a machitza. You don't have a machitza. Tzurata Petach, Rav is saying, does not help you to create a machitza where there isn't one. Whatever parts Brubello I mean is, we'll get to Arch's problems later. So I would say it would be the same thing, in which case what we call Eruvs would be thrown out of the book. Because you can't use it Tzurata Petach to close in an area on four sides. That's all Purus. Okay, now says the Gemara, well, it's not the same. Yoter mi eser, which asers a mavui, is less likely to be mutter because of a tzurat ha-petach than a chotzer is, which is a chorot merubah la'omid. And therefore you can't, they're not the same. Why is it less likely? Because look, you never allowed a maximum petach beyond eser, even by pasei beraot. Now of course that's not true because we saw yesterday it was 13 and a third by pasei beraot. But what we didn't know... What we didn't know by Pasei Beraot, is that Rabbi Meir Shita, is that even 10 for Pasei Beraot, we're making all of our kulot, but more than 10 we won't be makel on, and he only allows us a two-lane highway for 3 for Bakar rigs. You know, those 18-wheelers, they ain't gonna get in there. So therefore, we see clearly that the concept of Yoter Mi'eser is much more problematic than the concept of parts merubah la'omeg. Because look, pasei beraot by definition are almost entirely parutz, correct? The whole idea of pasei beraot is that you make a machitza consists of a little corner, a corner piece, four corner pieces, the rest of it is wide open territory. No. So if Rabbi Meir is machmer anyway, that the maximum, see what happens when you miss one night? The maximum distance between those corner pieces can be eser. So that means that we're worried more about eser than we are about parts merubah la'omeg. Which means that just because Rav says you can't use a Tzurat HaPetach to cover an opening that's more Mi'eser doesn't mean he would have said the same thing is true about a Chatzar where parts of Merubah La'imei. We clearly see that we're more careful about not having a opening more than Tanamo than we are about parts of Merubah La'imei. So Tomar Beparutz Merubah La'imei Ha'oser B'chatzer Sheken Hitartat It's a Pasei Beraot L'Divrei Yaakov. The problem of Parutz Merubah La'omeg simply falls by the wayside, even according to Rabbi Meir, when it comes to the Pasei Beraot. So I ask you, which one do we have to be more careful about? Now, how can you bring me a proof that just because we're careful about Yeser Me'eser, that we're also not going to accept a Tzurat HaPetach on Parutz Merubah La'omeg? No comparison. Let us see if we can bring a raya to the Mandi Omar who holds that Tzurat HaPetach will not help in a case of the Porutz Merubah Al Ha'omeid, even though we said to Rav Yosef, we don't think it makes logical sense to make this Hashva'ah. But there does seem to be a proof that it's true anyway. It says like this, Difanot halalu, Sheruban Ptachim V'chalonot. When you make these walls that are mostly, since we say mostly, well, that's about that in a minute, that are mostly doors and windows, it's still mutter, ubevachia omeid merubah la'parutz, as long as it's mostly not doors and windows, huh? What? Sheruban salkadaitak, wait a minute. Didn't you start off by saying that they're mostly doors and windows, and he says it's kosher as long as it's not mostly doors and windows? No, I mean, sheribah bahem ptachim b'chalonot. You put in an awful lot of doors and windows. So here we have, of course, just in case you have a problem of imagining doors and windows, or maybe not, I don't see it. Didn't we? I thought there was a picture of that.
This one.
Oh, it's in this one. Okay, so in the Oz V'Hadar pictures, in case you have a problem imagining doors and windows, this one doesn't have it. Can you imagine a toilet seat? They think you'd have a hard time imagining doors and windows. Right, I didn't see it. All right, so if you have mostly omeid, that would be kosher. You have over there, now, before we talk about the particular case, let's just get the halakhic ramifications of what we were saying, Lagabi, this person, Merubah La'omeg. What are we talking about? We're talking about chutz, we've got mostly ptachim v'chalamot. The shaila about whether we could use it, surat ha-petach. Because take a look what we say over here, Omer of Kana, even though these ptachim, so it sounds like you've got lots of doors, if you've got doors, you've got, by definition, you've got a surat ha-petach. And nonetheless, we're viewing this area as being open. So we're saying that since you have ruba, you don't have only ruba lapor, so doors don't count. That's pretty amazing. The surat ha-petach doesn't count. That's what Rabbi Yosef was suggesting. The surat ha-petach doesn't count. No, if it's closed, fine. But I mean, here it's open. This is opening. It doesn't mean it's necessarily dlatot. It means doorways. Ptachim means a doorway. Normally, that's what it means. So it's a surat ha-petach. Well, maybe he's showing you the answer. But you're looking, you know, you have to care for these pictures. So answers Rav Kahana. What we're talking about over there, Kitan Yagibe Pitche Shimoi, or probably could be Pitche Simoi, you know, Planet of the Apes. Simeon Ptachim, you know, they don't know how to build Ptachim. It's monkeys, they don't know how to build. Rabbi Nathan says it actually means Shimoi from the lesson of shame, B'nai Shame. In Eretz Yisrael, they build like that, you know. Did you ever see a straight edge wall in Israel? Those kind of doorways, the doorways, the claw. So the Surat HaPetach needs to be straight on either side with a piece above. And this thing can't make a straight door. And what it's really talking about, of course, is where you've got jagged edges. That's more the Simeon approach, right? Which is picture number 84. So that, although it may technically, you could say, well, it's got two sides, right? And it's got, we're going to talk about exactly what it is in a minute. But this could mean Lashon Shem, or it could be a Lashon of Shabai, which is we use for Hashem, Ashmai, as in Zaken Ashmai.
What's that about? I can't
read it.
What?
It's wrong, as usual. There's something perverse. I mean, it's as if the illustrator went out, but don't forget to illustrate something wrong. I've yet to see a reliable picture in that. It's unbelievable. That's good. Yeah. Now, Uncle Art does a decent job. Especially with my son-in-law, you know, writing the things. It's got to be good. You know that already. All right. So that's one possibility. We're going to see what exactly Pitche Shamoi is. What do we mean by Pitche Shamoi? But again, the lotion of Shamoi could come from the word Hashem, because we use that word Zaken Ashmai, which is evil, bad. This would mean low class, poorly done. Or it could mean as done by B'nai Shem. I like the Simeon approach myself, but Planet of the Apes doesn't go over too well. So what are these things? Pligi bar Rav Ruchumi Rav Yosef. There's a machloket as to what the problem is here, whether we're talking about chadamar de letlu shkafi. One says there's no mizuzot. We're calling it mashkof in the water. There's no mizuzot. But chadamar de letlu tikra. And the other one says, talking about there's nothing over the top, and therefore it doesn't satisfy the needs of Tzurat HaPetach. It simply lacks Tzurat HaPetach. But if it had a Tzurat HaPetach, then einat inami, it would be fine. Now, I mean, the question is, would it be fine that it's more than Esther? No, we're talking about Pachor than Esther, according to Rav, right? In other words, we're certainly not changing our approach. He's only talking about Alib and Rav, Rav Yosef. So we're saying, perhaps Alib and Rav, Pachor to me Esther, would be okay if it did have a Tzurat HaPetach, if the problem is Porutz Merubah La'imeh. And it was only when it was Yotir Mi'eser Amot that Rav had a problem with the Tzurat HaPetach, correct? That's what we're saying so far. Now, Tosfos points out that we've got to be talking about a case where you've got in four walls the Porutz is Merubah La'imeh, because Rav already was Matir Tzurat HaPetach when he paskined about a Mofli Akum. He said that you can have a Tzurat HaPetach and like the Tanakama, and not like Hananya, who has any doors. So obviously he had no problem, even though it's completely open, the two ends of the Mavli are totally open. So you said, so but what about Parts Merubah La'imeh? That's not a problem. It's Parts Merubah La'imeh when you take the full walls into consideration. Then he's got a problem, we're saying. Because certainly, I mean, there was no question about the Mavli Yakum, but it didn't matter over there to use a Tzurat HaPetach. So you've got two walls that are completely open. So don't you have to start talking to me now about, well, what about the problem of a Parts Merubah La'imeh? No, obviously not. The two Ptachim we accept. It's beyond that that we get into the issue of Parts Merubah La'imeh. So, okay, we seem to have a Raya, but we were told for the Raya because we're talking about Pitche Shimoi. The Yafrib Yochanan, Sabalal HaDarab, and Rav Yochanan also seems to agree that you can't have a Tzurat HaPetach for more than 10 Amot. Doma Ravim Barav Adam Rav Yitzchak Ma'aseh V'Adam Echad Mibikat Beit Choratan. Shenaatz arba kundesin, barba binota sadeh, Umatak Zmorali. There was once a Maisa where a person put in four poles on the four sides of a field, and he let a vine grow up over it, and so the vine actually spanned the space, and obviously originally he put something up there to allow it to grow. So he ended up with a very pretty kind of patio construction that was covered with vines, just like a nice little surata peta on all four sides. And he managed to get himself an enclosure with a minimal expense of four poles that he put into the ground. Now, the question was, could he rely on this? And there's two issues that we need to determine. Does this have a din of mechitza legabe kilayim? Because if it does, remember that kilayim is fundamentally defined by how it looks. So if you've got a wall between a kerem and another adjoining field, you can plant right up against the wall. Even though the vines may be actually nourishing themselves underneath the wall, it doesn't look like it's mixed. So the first question is, can you plant another species around the edges of this virtual wall because it's a proper tzurata peta? And of course the other issue is the one we're talking about. Would this be what we call an eruv? That obviously had nothing to do with the word eruv, but we'll use the popular term. Is this a good eruv to carry in?
Inside the wall, the vine can be planted directly below, the grapes can be planted directly below that.
No, within the enclosure, and outside,
right up against the edge.
Kuloparutz. So what would be the din over there? So the Maisa came with Ne'achachamim, v'hitiru lo le'in kilay. They said, it's okay, you could plant your vines up against one end of this virtual wall, and your tomatoes up against the other end of the virtual wall. V'yomer Rish Lakish, k'derech shehitiru lo le'inyan kilay, kach hitiru lo le'inyan Shabbat. They also said it was fine to carry inside this enclosure because it's what we call an eruv. I hate that term, an eruv, because it's so anti the whole technical definition of eruv. Maybe we should give it some. It's an eruv X or something like that. X eruv. Mutation.
Don't have a say lavod in also this. Just pick one.
What's that?
Don't have a say lavod instead of lavud. Just pick one word.
Why? We have to leave room for populism. This would be an exeru. So therefore, you see that Reb Reish Lakish indeed held that it was okay to carry in it Linyan Shabbat, whereas Reb Yochanan said, oh no, only Linyan Kilayim. The Kilayim Yitirulo, but Linyan Shabbat, Lo Yitirulo. Now, before we talk about our proof that Reb Yochanan would have agreed with Rav that things don't help for more than 10, let's make sure we understand the case here. B'mayaskina, Ilayim Minatzat. When it said that he grew a vine over the poles, that would mean somewhere along the edge of the poles, not above the top of the poles, because that's a whole different ballgame, obviously, because a tzurata petach may well need to be directly on top of the poles. Maybe that was the issue here. So was it minatzad? Couldn't be, because Omer of Kista tzurata petach she'asa'a minatzad lo asa v'lo klu. You make a tzurata petach by putting a piece of wood against two pieces of wood. Useless. It has to be above the two pieces of wood, which is why, unfortunately, the telephone wires usually don't work for making an XA rip around the city. Because they're almost always
downside.
Yeah, the old telegraph wires that used to run along the top of the pole were great for XA rips. But nowadays you rarely see that kind of thing. Of course, there's a few. Richie provides a rich examples of possibilities. There are a few such poles around Richie's plot. Yeah. So, okay. But it couldn't be that we're using the vines minatzad, because that's useless. So we've got to be talking about El Al-Gaban. Now, what size, how much space was there between the poles? We're talking about where you've got 10 or less. You're telling me, how could Rabbi Yochanan have said that Ezer at Tzurata Petach doesn't help? That everybody agrees by Tzurata that Ezer helps. So it's got to be talking about Alalav B'Yeter Me'Ezer. So, and the problem is that Rabbi Yochanan held that for Shabbat we're not ready to utilize an ex Eruv that's got more than 10 Amot between the poles. So that's what Rav was saying, basically. Tzurata Petach, more than 10 Amot, is useless. Because we're not necessarily. Maybe it is talking about Be'eser. And maybe the issue over here was that the vine was not on top of the pole, it was on the edge of the pole. And that's what they're arguing about. They're arguing, but Rav Chisda can be obligated. They're arguing about whether Rav Chisda was right to say that a Tzurat HaPetach on the side is useless. And Reish Lakish was saying, even Minatzad, it's okay. And Rav Yochanan agreed with Rav Chisda. He said, no, this is no good. L'inyan Shabbat. But L'inyan Kilayim, we were matur Tzurat HaPetach, even Minatzad, of course, is what we're going to have to say. Because why else we matur L'inyan Kilayim? But then we have a contradiction now. So Rami to Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Yochanan, Rami to Reish Lakish to Reish Lakish. We have a case in which they seem to switch positions. The Om Reish Lakish Rishon Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Chanina, they are muteret inyan kilayim aval lo l'shabbat. If you put a shetel up on top of a pole, so no, it couldn't mean that, did it? But it actually means something like that, because as Rashi points out, the use of pe'ah over here doesn't mean a corner; it means a braid. So, but here it's a braid of vine that was braided over the top.
In terms of the kilayim, if the vine is planted on the ground,
doesn't matter.
The vine virtual doesn't count. But the vine doesn't count as a species in terms of.
It counts as a species, but it's got a clear cut demarcation between it. Wherever you have a clear cut demarcation, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
that was the case we had about Aruga and Shabbos, where you make that geometric pattern.
Yeah, but the vine itself is a species. And if you plant something...
Oh, you mean over here? Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're right. Yeah, it doesn't matter because it's clearly delineated. Yeah, it's a good point. So there Reish Lakish says it's good for Kilayim, but not for Shabbat, the opposite of what he said here. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it's just as good for Shabbat. How are you going to explain that? So says Rabbi Yochanan, well, if it doesn't work like Shabbat, so it won't work for Kilayim either. Reish Lakish is no problem. Reish Lakish, we could say that over there wasn't Reish Lakish. It says over here, Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Chanina. Maybe he doesn't agree with this. He was quoting Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi Chanina that he had learned it from. Okay, you could say that he doesn't agree to it. So Hadidei, Hadar Abe, one was his own opinion, one was his Rabbi's opinion. But Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, he's got to make up his mind. Either it is kosher Lagabi Kalayim, or it's not kosher Lagabi Kalayim. You take for granted it's not kosher for Shabbat, it's not kosher for Kalayim either. So isn't that a contradiction? So now, if you'll tell me that our original assumption was correct, you want to tell me that it's talking maybe a difference between whether it's al-gaban or minatzad. Oh, now that I can understand. In other words, you want to admit that I was right the first time, and that when the vine covers the top of the poles, then it's good for kilayim. But since it's more than Ezra, it's not good for Shabbat. Like I said, okay, that makes sense. Then you could say that over here it's talking about that the vine was on the edge. And over there, Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that's not a Tzurat HaPetach at all. Even for Kilayim, that's not a Tzurat HaPetach. Well, then there's no contradiction. Everything works out. But then you'll have to agree with me in the original assumption Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rab. No smile today? That a Tzurat HaPetach will not help for wider than 10 amot? Are you feeling behind?
Okay.
It's the left of, it's the left out daf that's doing it.
Yeah.
So if you miss the daf at night, then you have to come to Nafi for him to say it over to you. Mm. I'm sure Nafi was there. Uh-oh. Well, maybe you should tune into the internet. So, but if you're going to say, if you're going to keep insisting that idi the idi minatzad, you're going to say that both cases are like you wanted to say. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about where the vine went around the edge and they were arguing about Rabbi Chisda. You got a contradiction. There he said, it's okay for Kilayim, and here he says it's not okay for Kilayim. So Michael and Mima, I can explain it now. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you very simply, I'll explain it. Indeed, it's talking about Minatzad, and the difference is whether it's 10 or more than 10. So Hatan Be'eser over there was talking about Be'eser. Until now, we never thought that a Tzurat HaPetach Minatzad, which is a very second-rate Tzurat HaPetach, that over there, Lagabi Kilayim, it's going to make an afkamina if it's 10 or more than 10. Because by Kilayim, the issue is not a Petach, so who cares? By Shabbat, where the issue is Petach and the Chitzah, I understand. But now we're coming up with a new idea that there's something about a Tzurat HaPetach per se that requires it to be Eser and no more than Eser if it's Minatzad. That's definitely a strange way of looking at it. But okay, it may be that that's a difference. I mean, if I don't want to agree with you, I'll insist that maybe there it's talking about Be'eser, which is okay for Kilayim, since it's Minatzad, not okay for Shabbat. And here it's talking about more than Eser, where it's not okay even for Kilayim. Ah, but come on. I mean, not Tamer the Shanilam Ben Eser, we have to be Eser. Where do you ever see such a thing? That a Tzurat HaPetach, which is a semi-Tzurat HaPetach, in Minatzad, is a nafkamina if it was more than 10 or less than 10. For Kilayim, where is such a thing? I'll prove it to you. Because Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, he said to him, and they were arguing about this issue, about Kelayim, right? So he said to Reish Lakish, Lo kach haya ma'aseh, wasn't there a story in which Rabbi Yoshua, who was a Baki Gadol in Hilchos Kelayim, went anyway to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, l'lmod Torah, and he went to ask him, Abba Bishop Baki b'chot Kelayim. He was considered to be an expert in Kelayim. He finds Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Yoshev Bein Ha'ilanot, where he's sitting over there between trees, and he was moteach as moram mi'ilan mi'li'ilan, which was sounds like this guy from Bikat Be'koratan. He put his mora from one tree to the next. It doesn't say exactly where. We'll have to figure that out. The Amarlo Rabbi Yoshua asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi, igifanim kan ma'ol izroa kan, what would you say about planting here on either side different species? If we would have had a carom here, could we have planted with your zmora going over the top? Amarlo, it depends. Be eser mutar, be yoter mi eser asur. Now, what's the case? The case I'll ask him. I ask him. Ilaim al gaban. If we're talking about that the vine was stretched over the top of these trees and therefore was a proper tzrata peta for all dinim, so then why would yeter mi eser asur? Vatanya, it says beferush in the Braita that hayusham kanim hadokranim viasala and tea milamala. It says clearly in the Tosefta of Kelayim. So the Gabe Kelayim, if you've got poles that you sharpen, stuck them into the ground, the Dokranim, you stick them into the ground, you put a vine running across the top of the poles, even if it's beferush, more than 10 amot, is mutter and nobody argues. So that means that the Gabe Kelayim, we certainly don't care if it's more than 10, if it's a proper Tzurat HaPeta. So if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri told Rabbi Yoshua, if it's more than 10, it's not good, he had to be referring to a semi-tzurat ha-tetach minatzah. So apparently there is a difference, legabi kilayim, of yeter mi-yeser, on a tzurat ha-tetach minatzah, and that would explain why it is that earlier on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan said that the tzurat ha-tetach was okay for kilayim, but not for Shabbat. Not for Shabbat, because minatzah. Minatzah, never good for Shabbat. Yes for kilayim, because it was eser or less. In this case, he's talking about minatzad, and yoter mi'eser is nonetheless no good. There you go. So I've proved that there's a difference, minatzad as well, between eser and pachot mi'eser. Shema mina. The shema mina, of course, is only a shema mina that maybe this is true. It's not a shema mina that I'm 100% right that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with Rav. I don't have a proof. I don't know exactly. I can't prove to you. In that case, what he was talking about. Let's get back to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda claims that it's Rata Peta that is made min atzad, lo asav lo klum. And Rav Chisda gave a couple other important deals for Tzurat HaPetach. I mean, Rav Chisda claimed that a Tzurat HaPetach also has to be strong enough, tzricha shetei bri'ah, kedei la'amid badelet. It has to be able to hold up a door on it. Now, it could be a very, very light door. Maybe afilu delet shel kashin, even if it's made out of kash. But it's still, it has to be able to support something. And Omer Reish Lakish Rishum Rabbi Yanai, Tzurat HaPetach Tzurcha Heker Tzir, what's more, a Tzurat HaPetach needs to have a recognizable hinge, huh? My Heker Tzir, Omer of Avya Avkita, it requires a hole in the ground, which is what I promised you yesterday we were talking about, requires a little hole in the ground in which the Delet, normally that's the way they made a Tzir, in which the Delet would normally swing. Here is your little Avkita. Right there, of course, it's hanging on a laser sear, as you can see at the very advanced door. You've got that red laser.
Don't see it.
Let's look what the body.
No, that's no good.
No, it's in the ground.
It's in the ground. So, although, I mean, that could also be acceptable. Yeah, it could be acceptable. Yeah, acceptable. It's fine. But this is normally the way it worked. They didn't use that. Which would explain swings. But we use it still today,
swinging doors.
Even though there's no door. In other words, that makes it more recognizably a doorway. Now, as far as your archaeological discovery, maybe there was no lechi there at all, but they were posturing like a sheet that's rather than a that makes it even more interesting. Especially in terms of
they're all looking for a door.
Ditcha Shimoi, that's right. So you shouldn't be an archaeologist without knowing Shas.
It's amazing.
It's really true.
All over the place. And I wonder, what is this doing here?
What is the hole doing there? They're all over. Yeah. Incredible.
Nobody figured out.
Well, it could have been real doors, couldn't it have been?
Well, something like on public shari, you know, that's why I can understand. What is it doing here? Like in Susia, next time you go to Susia.
That's great. So they actually were makbid to the Bekai and the sheet there, that they had to have a hole in the ground, even though they didn't have anything actually. Yes, it's been found in place where it's obvious that it was not
wrong.
A whole four it's here.
Since God mentioned, since the glass was broken the more, well, they mentioned that during Kolamites, Susa will be open probably and has
security. Susa is a place in Barney, yes, neighborhood.
It's perfect for everything. It's going to be a monthly,
yeah. It's
just
a rabbit. Drum
heart, come on.
That's great.
Between
Arad and Kevra. I remember that.
It's a cool place.
We used to drive around there. Okay, so that's another thing he said. And Ashkafina Ravach, Brid Ravavila, Tomid Ravash, Omar Midi Bitsurata Peta. Tell me, did your Rebbe Ravashi, did he give any like requirements for Tzurata Petach? Omer le'lama v'lo klum. He never said anything about all of this stuff. Tana Tzurata Petach shamru is you can take a simple konamikan, v'kaneh agavehem. All you need is a reed running down the edge on either side, another reed on top of it, and that would be fine.
Doesn't have to hold anything.
Well, yeah, we'll see when we get to discuss that. Talking about tzrichim liga, but does it need to touch when it passes over the top? The kana that's going over the top. Does it need to touch the two kanim on the side, or can it just be a virtual tzurata petach without actually even touching them, as long as it's above them?
We're asking love.
Now that no love. Not even love.
What's holding it up?
It's longer.
What do you mean? A force field, of course.
You have to be held up by the sun.
So, in other words, if you have a telephone wire that's running across an area that way above, and it doesn't have any diyumdin, doesn't have the lechi on either side, can you put up a lefi underneath the telephone wire? Have the telephone wire go up way above and say, here, I got a tzurata petach. Here's the sides and there's the top. And it should be no problem. He said tzurata petach is good even if it's lamala, it's closing. So that should be fine. So that's what he's asking.
Way over love.
Yeah. Reb Nachman Amar ain't tzrichim liga. Indeed, it does not have to touch. Reb Sheshes Amar tzrichim liga does have to touch. And now we come to the first sad story in history of an ex-Eruv, and what happened with the ex-Eruv. Now, in those days, they would still marry in between families, where one family used the ex-Eruv, and the other family didn't. But the early beginnings of the ex-Eruv saga is in this Gemara, because it's the first recorded story of someone who put up an ex-Eruv and the sad results. So what happened? So based on this machloket, where Nachman held it doesn't have to touch, Rav Nachman went and built for the Reish Galuta. Now, the Reish Galuta you don't start up with, you know. And that's like already starting up at June Street. I mean, they make an Erev, just don't say anything. So he went ahead, and he made an Erev, an ex-Erev, of course, built around the Reish Galuta's palatial grounds, and he said, okay, now you can carry this whole area. And it was based on the telephone wires that were way above the poles that he had in the ground underneath them. So he was Avaruv the Breish Galusha Kishmai today, and this is the way he held, the way that he had been Mekabel, and so he built an Ekabel, and so he built an Ekseret. Reb Sheshes heard about it. Omer Reb Sheshes L'shame, Reb Gada. Reb Sheshes told his Meshamesh, Reb Gada, get rid of that damn thing, will you? Zil Shlov Shadino, pull it down! So Azal Shalav Shadino, so he went and pulled it down, but the problem was the Reish Galuta's goons saw him. So Ashkachu, the very Reish Galuta, Chavshu, of course they dragged him into the dungeon and put him into the Reish Galuta's basement, and that was the end of Rav Gada. Reb Sheshes, you know, it started bad, let me tell you. So, Reb Sheshes didn't like the idea that they had imprisoned Rav Gada, so he walks over to the doorway over there, Kama Baba, Amalei Gada, Pokta. He calls out to him, Gada, just walk out. I dare them to do anything. So, no fakviata, he comes out. Anyway, that's all. They weren't going to start off with Rapshashas, but Ashkeche, there was a very, very problematic ending to this story. Because Ashkeche, Rapshashas, the Rabbi Bar Shmuel. So, Rapshashas is walking down the street. He meets Rabbi Bar Shmuel. So, he asks him, Tani Mar Midi Bitzrata Petav, you have any interesting data about some writers on Tzurata Petach? Or, as a matter of fact, I got this really interesting case. And that was a case of, what Moshe Baruch asked before, a kippah. What did you call it?
Arches.
Arches, yeah. So you've got an archway. Now the question is, there's an archway which doesn't have really a tzurat ha-petach because it's simply got a curve on top.
Right?
Yeah, like this door. Right here. So in such a case, we don't even have to go to Susia. Get that?
No, but there's no hole.
All right, we shouldn't say it. Ah, but according to the Shita of the Oz Vahadar pictures, we have an Afketa right there in our door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, take a look in your Oz Vahadar pictures. No, 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 we've got that. We've got exactly that concern, right? Okay, so what would be the din? Would be Meir is Mechayev in a mezuzah, and the Chachamim Pater in the mezuzah. This is not a real doorway. The Shavim, now they all agree, She'im yesh beraglea asara, she'chayevet. If you've got, remember, what does a door require? A door requires a width of 4 tfachim, as we saw earlier, and a minimum height of 10 tfachim, and then it can be used by dwarves. But at least it's a door.
Jewish dwarves.
Jewish dwarves, of course. Why else would they be putting up a mezuzah? So, well, I mean, Lamaisa, if you're storing dwarves, I mean, then you would be chayev as the owner of the dwarf shed. Yeah. But then it's a kosher door. Now, the shiloh over here is, what's the way in which this arch is built? So it comes along now the Gemara to explain the case. Everybody is moda that if the lower part of the arch already has 10 tvachim in height, then it's chayev. Says, wait a minute, let me explain this. Akol modim, im gvoa sara ve'im beraglea shlosha, if it's 10 tvachim high, but it doesn't have an area which is higher than 3 tfachim that is 4 wide, it never started being a door. Because anything below 3 is viewed as aras michta, because it's part of the ground, it's lavut to the ground. So it's just an extension of the ground, the door didn't begin. When it says ein beragla shalsha, it means it doesn't have an area of 4 that was at the height of 3 and above. Because that doesn't register.
Begin, so the curve begins?
The curve began so early that it curved in to the four before it even was raised above 3. There it's useless because it never was a door. There was nothing to even consider. So that's below klum. Furthermore, if it's missing the height, inami yesh beragla shlosha, let's say it even has 3 by 4 on the bottom, but it doesn't have a total of 10 to the high point of the curve in the arch. It's also ridiculous because it doesn't have the starting points and dimensions of a door. Dimensions of the door are 4 by 10. And over here, it's got less than 4 or less than 10. So for sure, not Rabbi Meir would have held one way. Nobody would have thought this is a door. The question over here is the famous machloket Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about hollowing out virtually. That's the question. Now, what's our question? When we can identify 3 points of the door, one on either side, which is 3 tefachim above the ground, and a distance of 4 between them. So we've got 2 dots on either side, and one at the top of the arch, where we've got now 10 from the ground. Once you define those 3 points, Rabbi Meir has a halakhic concept called chokakin lahashlim, which means you virtually draw the rest of the picture. So when I draw the rest of the picture, I come out with a door. But this requires sufficient space for me to do it. In other words, if I'm chokek lashlim and I'm going to break through the wall, I can't virtually create a door. I need to use the bricks on either side. So if I've got space, take a look at your Rashi on the bottom. If this is an archway that doesn't have something to the side, then of course I can't be chokek lashlim. I don't draw, I'm chokek. There's got to be something there to be chokek. I can hollow out virtually. So if I've got a wall, like the upper picture in Rashi, so then I can hollow it out virtually, and then I've got enough for a 10 by 4 door, where the Rabbanan hold ain't chokakin lahashlim. Now, Rav Sheshet at this point was feeling absolutely horrific, because according to this, the top of the door never touches the side, because it's all virtual. We're looking at a curve, and what we're doing is we're saying, okay, this top is attached to the bottom 4. Oh my
because
God!
Because of chokakin lahashlim.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that it's touching, you know, even if you don't need chokakin lahashlim. The very fact that you originally said you're ready to accept a door of 3 high and 10 across because you've already got enough of a door means Rav Sheshet is dead in the water. Because Rav Sheshet claimed you need an actual touching of the top of the sides. If the Reish Galusa finds out about this, Rav Sheshet is kaput. Omar Leso, he said, oh my God, you've got to do me a favor. don't say a word about this braita to anybody, please. Don't you dare tell them a thing about this braita, because then they're going to throw me in jail. Because the air that I tore down, the ex-air that I tore down, was kosher according to this.
So the first case of
subversion. Subversion is right.
I don't see how to treat this.
Because you don't have the area in between prevents contact between the virtual top of the door and the actual sides of the door, correct?
I don't see that. Why is that?
Because I don't have a doorway.
Oh, we're ignoring the arch.
We're ignoring the arch. If we're ignoring the arch, where does it touch the mezuzot?
Right. Okay.
So in abstraction, this is essentially the case of the area that I tore down with the telephone wires on top.
When you carve it out,
it wasn't directly on top of it.
You're becoming way too sensual with this issue. This is an abstraction. The bottom line is, I don't require any contact. The contact is meaningless. The fact that the wall happens to be there only provides an area to be chokek. You too are very sensual. One of the things that the Gemara demands of Jews is to stop thinking in terms of flesh and blood and sticks and stones and so on, and to think in terms of dimensions. It's all abstract. 3 points define the door. So how do 3 points define a door without any contact? You see, you don't need the contact. Very good, very good. I am pushing. It's from your absolute finest.
What did he say?
Chalkat mechokek sofutin. Sofun is hidden. Uh-huh. It means Moshe Rabbeinu's kever was hidden. Chalkat mechokek sofun. So he's saying the chalak that you were mechokek is hidden, and therefore
it's
beautiful, beautiful. Don't ruin it. Okay, so shall we wait and start our next sugya tomorrow? I think we could do that. We've done well for today. People need food for young people.
When we say virtual reality, real reality.
Call them my sukkahs. Remember how the different people's sukkah there are 2 days old.